Well, good evening. It is good to have you out on this nice, cool autumn day. It's actually been quite warm today, hasn't it? We are finally, I'm sure some of you are thinking, finally, in the last part of Psalm 119, the last 8-verse section, and we'll be finishing up our study tonight in this psalm. Psalm 119, and we begin in verse 169. Continue down through 176, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Beginning in 169 of Psalm 119. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you tonight and as we finish up this psalm, Lord, we thank you for the study. And we thank you for the intimacy that the psalmist had with you. And Lord, for putting it down so that we could follow his life. And God, we pray tonight that as we finish our study tonight, that you would embrace us and bless us and give us an understanding of the closeness of the psalmist with you. And Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and open the Word of God, to pray. And Father, tonight we want to bring Leighton McDonald before you in prayer and ask God that you would be with him as he's in surgery. We pray that you would help the doctors to get all of the tumor that is in his intestine, in his bowel. And Father, we pray that he would come out of this healed and, Lord, that if it's cancerous, that all of the cancer may be removed. We leave it in your hands and we ask your will be done and we give you all the glory in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we have gone on many walks over the last 4 months with the gentleman who wrote Psalm 119, and it's hard to believe that we have spent 22 Wednesday evenings, or this will be the 22nd, looking at this tremendous passage of a man's life. And that's what we mentioned last week, that this is actually an autobiography of the psalmist's life, his entire walk with God. He's in the twilight of his life now, and he's looking back on his life. And last week was the beginning of his summary. As he was getting ready to finish out the psalm, he approached and started to summarize his life. All of the verses that we have read prior to this, he begins to bring all of those truths together. And tonight, what we're going to look at is a man who is nearing the last of his life and the last of his breaths. And he contemplates his walk with God. We have taken, as I said, many walks, and we've walked with the gentleman who wrote this during the high points of his life and during the low points of his life. We have walked with him as he has been threatened by those around him who did not understand him. We've walked with him when he refused to abandon the Word of God and he was forced to cling to the precious Savior. And as we finish up tonight, we're going to notice a word that we see 5 times in these 8 verses, and that's the word let. And the psalmist here looks as though he has reflected on his whole life prior to this, and now he's looking ahead. As he nears the very end of his life, and he knows that the Lord is getting ready to call him home, he looks ahead with great anticipation. And as we look at this, and as we examine what he has to say, I hope we can draw strength from this, and we can draw comfort. And he begins with the word that I mentioned just a moment ago. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. The word let means to permit or to allow. It is a humble appeal from the heart of a man who now, as he looks back on his life, is getting ready to look ahead to the life that's to come. And he says, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. The word cry is the same word that we see all the way back in the book of Exodus. When the nation of Israel is crying to God, they are in subjection to the Egyptians and they're being persecuted. And they feel completely alone. They're surrounded by people. There are people everywhere. But they feel completely alone and they cry to God. And it says that the Lord heard their cry. The same word is used there as we see here. Let my cry. We know that many times in the psalmist's life he felt very lonely. It seemed like he was all by himself. And he was persecuted heavily by the people around him simply because he dared to tell the truth and simply because he would not take anything away from God's word, nor would he say anything that would be negligent concerning God. We live in a society today that, how many times have you heard someone say, my, we're so busy. We're so busy. We're so busy. And yet we're busy and we are around people all the time, and yet you would be surprised how many people are lonely tonight. It's been said, and I believe it, when you stop and think about it, it certainly makes sense. They said, the average person today travels more and sees more people in 1 year than our grandparents did in their entire lives. And yet, we are always unsatisfied, constantly looking for something else. And the one thing that can satisfy us is God. And so many people have no concept of who He is, nor how much He loves them, or what He wants for them. This man did. He'd lived his life for God, as difficult as it was at times. He refused to do or say anything that would bring reproach upon his God. And now as he ends his life, he says, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. I'm alone, but I'm not alone. Isn't that wonderful to be a Christian? You can be surrounded by people and you can feel lonely, but God's always with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The promise of God. The Christian's never alone. Even during the times when the most difficult things come into our lives, we know that God walks with us. And so his cry is to God. Let my cry come near before thee. Give me understanding according to thy word. How many people have you heard say, well, I'm not afraid to die. I just wish I knew what was on the other side. I just kind of wish that I could live a few more days. I'm not afraid to die, but I'd like to see my children grow up. I'd like to see my grandchildren grow up. Well, if we're not afraid to die, why are we so afraid for the time to run out? It's because most people are afraid of death. They look at death as the end, but it's not the end. And a child of God knows that. He understands that. And so when he says, give me understanding according to thy word, he simply says, comfort me as you prepare to bring me into your presence. Take my hand. Take my hand. I long to see my Savior. And in verse 170, he says, let my supplication come before thee. Let my supplication. The word supplication means a humble request. The psalmist is bowing in spirit before the throne of grace, and he is asking God to deliver him. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. And the word deliver means raise me up. Raise me up. Already he's looking ahead to the resurrection of his life. When this life is over, One of the great blessings of the Christian is that we simply close our eyes in this life and we open our eyes with Christ Jesus. And he's already looking beyond the veil of death, and he's looking forward to taking the hand of God. He said, "Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word." He was clinging now to the promises of his God. The thing that should hold us during the troubled times when the earth seems to be shaking beneath our feet are the promises of God. We should be able to cling to them, because when God promises something, he never goes back on that promise. We can rely on the word of God. It's difficult to rely on the words of men, but we can rely on the word of God. And here the psalmist, in looking to the end of his life, reaches out to the God that has secured him, walked with him, protected him, and now is getting ready to usher him into his presence. So he simply requests that God would deliver him according to thy word. When we become saved, when we come to that place in our lives where we bow before Jesus Christ and we ask for forgiveness of our sins, we are delivered immediately. We're delivered from hell. We are delivered from sin. We are delivered from the corruption of the past. We are given a brand new beginning and a new life. That's not what he's talking about here in deliver. What he's talking about here with the word deliver is deliver me from death. I have experienced in this life all that I can experience, but now I'm ready to experience the fullness of life in Jesus Christ. Once I move beyond this temple, once I step outside this temple and I enter into your temple, everything is going to change. And so deliver me. Verse 171 says, "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes." Notice the word shall. All through this psalm, the psalmist has been praising God over and over and over. But now he's talking about the praise that's going to be lifted up. Not the praise that has been lifted up, or even the praise that is being lifted up. He's looking ahead to a praise that's going to happen. When we go to the book of Revelation and we read chapter 4 and we see the Apostle John as he has been translated into heaven, John says that he sees a great multitude. Tens of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. And the 24 elders are there, and all of the angels of heaven are there, and the 24 elders represent the church. And he hears all of these voices, and they're crying, they're screaming, "Worthy is the Lamb." The heavens are shaking. And the psalmist is saying, "I'm ready. I'm ready. My lips shall utter praise." Do you realize that someday you and I are going to be in that crowd of people? Isn't that exciting? One day you and I are going to be standing where the Apostle John was. And we're going to be rejoicing and praising God and screaming, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." What a moment that's going to be. And it is such an encouragement. And this man is looking forward to it. "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes." What a strange statement. He's lived according to the statutes of God, but he's saying here, "When you have taught me your statutes." In other words, when I have been complete and in your presence. When my life is perfect and I have a perfect understanding of who you are. Oh, what I know now pales in comparison to what we will know when we step into heaven. Right now, we operate by faith. Then we'll see him face to face. We'll see the wounds in his hands and his feet, and we'll know the penalty that was paid for our sins, and we'll be rejoicing. What a difference it's going to be. And he says, "When you have taught me thy statutes, my lips shall utter praise." Oh, how we will rejoice when we really understand. We think we understand today, but we'll really understand when we enter into his presence. In verse 172, it says, "My tongue shall speak of thy word." Once again, the word shall, it's future. "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." The Word of God is righteous. We have been made righteous, but we will completely understand righteous when we meet our righteous Savior. We are going to be praising, and we are going to be shouting, and we're going to be learning at the feet of God Almighty. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. In verse 73, he says, let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. Do you remember in the story that Jesus told of the rich man and the poor man who died in Luke chapter 16? And how the rich man died and he opened his eyes and he was in hell. And he cried. But the poor man died and the angels of God came and lifted him up and carried him into the presence of God at Abraham's bosom. And it's almost here as though he's saying, let thine hand reach down and get me. Let thine hand help me. I know I'm dying. I just want you to take my hand, take me through the valley of the shadow of death, and deliver me into your kingdom. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I've lived by your word. I've devoted my life. I've been committed to the things that I know are true. There are so many things in life that we struggle with, sometimes even in our understanding. And people will use the things that they don't understand as an excuse not to come to God. Mark Twain said that it wasn't the things that he didn't understand that bothered him about the Bible. It was the things that he did understand. And in most cases, people will use the things they don't understand in the Bible so that they don't have to face up to what they do understand. The Bible is very clear that we are sinners and unless we surrender our will to God, we're going to be separated from Him forever. There is a heaven, there is a hell. The Bible is very clear on that. But people would prefer to mock that simply because they don't understand things like election, or they don't understand some of the theological debates that exist around Scripture. I have to agree with Mark Twain on that. We don't understand everything about this book. Nobody does here. We will. But we need to act on what we do understand. And we know what God wants us to know about the Word of God. And He didn't give us this book to confuse us. He gave us this book to lead us to Him. It takes a lifetime of study, commitment, to just scratch the surface of this book. We're going to be learning about this for eternity. We're going to have an eternity at the feet of our Lord to understand all the intricacies of this book. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. I have longed. It isn't that he wasn't saved. He was saved. He had all the faith in the world in God. But now he's ready to move from the trials and the temptations of life. He's ready to move beyond the tests, the exams. That's what life is. It is a time of testing. God allows certain things to happen in our lives so that we will grow and mature in the faith and in our walk with God. Satan will bring things to trip us up. God will be standing there and he will allow some of those things to happen, but he's always within reach. He doesn't leave us. He simply waits for us to turn to him. And our entire life is nothing but a testing, a time of nurturing, a time of faith. It's a time that we learn about what God wants us to be, and learn about how to go about being what God wants us to be. And the psalmist here looks at death as graduation. He said, I'm getting ready to graduate. I'm getting ready to receive my diploma in life. I've passed the tests. Some I did real well on. Some I struggled with. I think we could all say that. Some of our testing we've done rather well with. Some of them, we've dropped the ball a few times. But the important thing is we get the diploma at the end. Like the Apostle Paul says, I want to finish well. I want to run the race and I want to finish well. It's so important that we finish well. And so the psalmist said, I long for thy salvation. And thy law is my delight. Every time that he was facing a problem, he opened the Word of God. If we would do the same, we would find that our problems are nowhere near as great as we make them out to be. But most of the time, we have a tendency to panic, try to come up with a solution on our own, and sometimes we make things better, sometimes we make things worse. But it's not until we come to Jesus Christ, it's not until we bow and we say, Lord, I can't handle this, you need to handle it, that's when you feel his presence. That's when you know that he's there. And so, he has come to the end of his life, and he says, thy law is my delight. It is a comfort to me. It's my hope. I don't know, I'm sure that all of you, well, none of us are so old that we can't remember what it was like when we finished school. We had all kinds of dreams. There was a little bit of fear, a great deal of anticipation and excitement, wondering where our life was going to take us. Isn't it funny when you're young, you just feel invincible. There are times when you feel misunderstood and you get angry, but for the most part you feel invincible. Then as you get older, you realize that you're not invincible. The mirror starts telling you the truth. You take a good look and you see the lines around your eyes and you realize you're getting older. You don't feel invincible anymore. When you get out of bed in the morning, your back aches, your legs ache. The things that you used to do and not even think about it, suddenly you grunt and groan and carry on. And that six-pack that you carried around in your midsection, if you ever had it in the first place, starts to look like a demented water balloon. Kind of flips and flops as you walk. You don't have the balance you used to have. Somebody steals your hair when you're sleeping. But in spite of all that, God's preparing you for a brand new body, brand new beginning. What a joy it's going to be when we can leave everything behind and just embrace Him. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. He says, I'm ready. Anytime you reach down and take my hand, I'm ready. I'm ready to graduate from all of the exams, the testing, times of problems and troubles. I'm ready to go home. Let thy judgments help me. I'm almost home. I'm on my last steps. Set me free. Set me free. Let thy judgments help me. And the last thing that he says, and I find this is so touching, the last thing he does is confess. You know, we talk about prayer, the importance of prayer as we go to bed at night. Well, we always should pray before we go to bed at night. And we should ask God to forgive us of the sin in our lives. And we should make sure that before we go to sleep, that we are in God's will and God's grace. That nothing that's been done or said during that day would stand between us and God if anything should happen to us while we sleep. But what about at the end of our lives? When we know that our time is short. Here, this is a man that in all the weeks that we have spent examining his life, you can't help but be impressed with his relationship with God. And yet the last thing that he says is I've gone astray like a lost sheep. It's his confession. He said, Lord, I'm a sinner. That's all I've ever been. I'm a sinner that has read your word, depended on your word. I'm a sinner that has been forced to cling to you. I'm a sinner that knows how much you love me. And I'm a sinner that loves you. I'm a sheep. That's all I am. And I've listened to my shepherd's voice from a distance. But now I want to see him. And that's where we are. We listen to our shepherd's voice from a distance. We know what he wants for us. We read his word. We pray to him, and we can feel his presence. We know he speaks to us. But we long for that day when we see him. When we see him coming for us. And that's what the psalmist is saying. I've gone astray like a lost sheep, but seek thy servant. I'm ready for a new pasture. I'm tired. I've fought the battle the best I could. And now I'm ready for my shepherd to take me home. I do not forget thy commandments. His whole life has been built on the Word of God, and now he will die on the Word of God. If we could only remember these 8 verses in the twilight of our lives when we're getting ready to go home, if we could always have this sense of communion with God and the desire to see him and to be so close to him that we wait for him to simply reach down and pick us up. So many people fear death tonight, but God's people shouldn't be one of them. We don't really need to fear it. I don't think any of us look forward to it, but none of us need to fear it. In closing, I'd just like to read you this poem. It's called The Victor. It said, did not death emerge the victor on life's final battlefield? Did we not see our loved ones captured while we were forced to yield? Cannot death claim correctly that he has finally won while we stumble sadly wounded in shock at what's been done? No, that has not happened. Death's victory is a lie. Christ has plainly told us that his children never die when death captured the mortal body. What our eyes could not see was that a temple had been taken, but a soul had been set free. The walls of flesh have yielded, and heaven's gate has opened wide. Even before we heard the news, our loved ones were safe inside. So look up, rejoice, beloved. Death has fallen in defeat. His victory march abated, for God forces his retreat. And our loved ones are declared the victors, their triumph sealed and true, because their souls live on in heaven and their memories live on in you. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we give you praise tonight. We thank you for the wonderful God you are, for the wonderful Savior you have provided. Father, we pray as we come before you tonight and as we bow in your presence in prayer, we pray that it would be a special time, a time of intimacy as we come before the throne of grace and as we present ourselves and our petitions, the things in our lives that we face, our own trials, our own exams, our own testing. But God, help us, like the psalmist, to look upward and to wait for the hand of God to reach down. And we will give you all the praise and all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.